left off at the end of Tosos. I honestly don't have much more of an explanation. There seem to be a couple of problems that Tosos has with Rabbeinu Chanan el Shita. The last one I understand. The last one is Amai lo sagi begimel chadashim kedepeirish brakuntris, which more or less I think means Rabbeinu Chanan el Shita might be very nice, but why do you need so many months? In other words, what is wrong in effect with Rashi Shita? For Rashi Shita, you need basically 3 or 4 months according to Rav and Shmuel. But for Rabbeinu Chanan el Shita, the discussion is whether you need 9 or 10 months. And so if you look in Tosfos Rashi, that's the only question he asks at the end. He just says, V'teima b'feirusha d'lama lo sagi b'gimu chadashim levad k'depricious. In other words, Rabbeinu Chanan el Shita may be correct that if a woman bleeds in such a pattern, 16, 17, 18, 16, 17, 18, 16, 17, 18, that, you know, or you need her 15 before that, she's kovas veses, you know, ledilu gim chalila, as we call. But, sof, what's wrong with Rashi Shita that you feel compelled to sort of present such a notion? The other question in Tosfos, I'm not exactly sure what. I understand what problems might be with Rabbeinu Chananel's Perush in terms of the way the Gemara presents things, but I can't understand exactly what the words Tosfos is using. All right. So anyway, so bottom line is that Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas the way most Rishonim read. They have a machlokas if she sees on 15, 16, 17 of 3 months in a row in a situation where she was not 15 was not her regular period. In such a case, do you say that 15, 16, 17 is enough, or do you say that 18 is required as well? Now, is that dilugin? Is that haflagos? I said not dilugin. Is that haflagos, or is that yomei hachodesh? It's yomei hachodesh. The Gemara is explicit. Yom chamisha asa lachodesh. That's very explicit. Now, I want to go back to the Mishnah for a moment. The Mishnah, let's go reread the Mishnah, and I don't know who was reading, but I'm done picking on the people. Whoever escaped yesterday escaped. You were reading?
Yes. I also like
that. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. You can deal with your group therapy later. Are you trying to set up a din? Is that your goal?
That was the goal, but he's not.
Kishtayim ra'os asa'ami. First, he wanted to set you off. Secondly, he was choshed for not being here. Okay. Anyway. So Danny will reread the Mishnah a little more because he needs to do some reading. So, flying ahead. So I'm giving them a base at the bottom. You don't have to read it, it's fine, that's sufficient. Okay. Is that days of the month or haflagos?
So,
why not?
The Gemara is the talk.
So?
So, like, you can't have a business with a Ziva unless you can.
How do you know?
The Gemara says you can.
Anyway, so I'll give you the solution to avoid dealing with that particular problem right now. The solution to that problem is 15 is Yimei Tarasa and 20 is Yimei Tarasa, meaning 15 plus 7, 22 plus 7, 20 plus 7. That's what Rashi is going to do.
The Gemara assumes that as well, doesn't it? When it says, Hani Mili, Gemara
is a little complicated.
Why is it by
the Gemara is a little complicated. We'll explain the Gemara in a second, you're correct. There is a Gemara in the Aflamit test, but the Gemara explicitly reads this as being Haflagos, not Yimei HaChodesh. And the starting assumption in the Gemara there is it's plus 7. There's this 15 misof you made to masa, which is 22. 20 misof you made to masa, which is 27. And this way, it's not bimezi basa. The Gemara there deals with exactly that issue, whether or not you can kovas versus bimezi basa. That's a machlokas on lametesam and aleph. It is alluded to for those of you doing vikias. The machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says an isha kimi kovas versus bimezi basa, but not bimezi basa. And Rabbi Yochanan says even bimezi basa is a Gemara on daf. It's alluded to in the Gemara daf yud aleph amid aleph if you're doing vikias. But it is actually the sugya is on daf lametesam and aleph. I don't want to deal with the whole sugya right now. It's a sugya we are going to deal with. It should be on the Makoros, I think, actually, later on. But just to understand the Rashi's comments on this Gemara, you have to at least be aware of that. So the assumption is that our Mishnah is not day 15 and day 20 of the month, but it's 15 plus 7 days from the last Riyah and 20 plus 7 days from the last Riyah.
The assumption on Lamed Tes.
That is the way the Gemara reads on Lamed Tes, yes. And that is also almost clearly the assumption of Rapapa here. Rapapa plays a role, actually, on that Lamed Tes as well in that discussion. So you can assume that is how the Gemara here is reading it as well. It's not when the Mishnah read alone, you don't have to adopt that approach. Yes.
If you ever become a Zava and you have something like this, would we end up having a Deset Bimei Zivata ever?
Let's not discuss that issue right now. Let's. I only want to have it enough just so you can understand the comment of the Gemara. Okay, Yossi?
Can you repeat the way you explained the Mishnah? Are you explaining it to Bakum?
If she is Lamuda Liros Roa Yom Tesvav, Misof Tomasa, which means if she's Regila Liros every 22 days. Okay? 22, 22, 22. And all of a sudden, she sees 27, which is 20 days Misof Tomasa. So then, once, not a big deal. She's Choshesh for both. In other words, and by the way, here's an important question. What? I am looking for a marker. Anybody happen to
yes,
be carrying
a marker?
Sorry, you have more. You gotta work on the throwing.
I'm sorry,
man. You're like one of these kids' games testing an IQ. What's next in the sequence? What's next in the sequence?
Sorry.
93. Okay. Five.
Oh, man.
Wait.
Isn't
it 93?
No, actually not.
Okay.
Okay. Now.
27. That's better.
Yes. Okay, now. Okay, she's Choshesh's. What's the next days that she's going to be Choshesh's for? These are actual Re'ios. Do you have another color?
Yeah. Sorry.
I have my office, but it's fine. Okay, so what is she going to be Choshesh's for next?
Go 22 and bring that
out. First the 22.
I need to hear a number day in the sequence.
115.
Oh, she doesn't. That's what I would say.
Well, not 110.
So that's a discussion, Machlokas, it seems, for Papa and Rabbi Yeshua and Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. There is a sheet that I would say that you count the 22 to 88. I'm not going to discuss this any further right now. Just be aware that that's going to come up. But this would be the normal sequence. Right? We assume, I think, you count to the Re'iyah, not to the hypothetical Re'iyah. Okay, but anyway, so, thank you. So, let's take a look now, with that little introduction in mind, I'm going to assume for the moment the woman is not Kovas Vesas Bimezi Vasa, which may not be true, but for our purposes we're not dealing with it right now. I mean, we're is dealing with it, so let's take a look. Amara Papa. Danny.
Amara Papa. Amara Papa. Lo Amaran Ela Le Mikba. Apo Mecha Shla Bechad Zim Nachayash.
You're not koveya vesas with one, but you are choshesh for that departure. Okay, which is why you would really 115 should be the day. But we'll also be, even if she doesn't bleed on 115, we'll be chosheshes for 120. Okay, go ahead. So it's explicit in the Mishnah. So the answer is. Okay. So, let's take the following sequence. Let's say, instead of 93, instead of plus 5, Daniel and Torah, but then they would need.
Said, okay, 17. Now, I'm going to assume, I don't want to make this more complicated than it has to be, she bleeds for one day. What's the next day that she's chosheshes for? The Hamamina would have been...
She still weighs 22.
That you would only be concerned with 105. So instead, what are you chosheshes for?
Go to 100.
Okay, this is the Kavua, and this is the Eina Kavua. So the Papa is telling you that even though this was be made, even though this was be made Zivasa, nonetheless, you have to wait, you have to be Chosheshes for 17 days from there, the Pamachas. She's Okeres the Pamachas, but she has to be Chosheshes due to one time. So that's what he means, that it's a funny language of the Gemara. Hani mean hechad the kaima betoch yemei dasa. What does it mean betoch yemei nidasa? Yamim harui really is not zivasa. It means yamim harui and lias nida after 18 days. Right. However, aval hechad the kaima the lo kaima betoch yemei nidasa, meaning bimei zivasa, then I would have said ema lo. You wouldn't have to be choshesh kamash melan you are Yehuda.
Let's take Midin Torah, let's say, assuming Beset Torah, there is such a thing as Beset Midin Torah. And let's say you bleed for one day, you're Shemer Yom Kegidon, you bleed another day. But you have a Beset of one day.
So the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes makes clear that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that is not, that's, when he says that Isha Kovas Beset Vini Dasa, that is not what he means. Okay, the Gemara says that the way Rabbi Yochanan holds that Isha Kovas Vesis Minidasa, Api Minidasa, is if she saw Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, then she saw on the 25th, and then Rosh Chodesh 5 days later, or 4 days later, whatever, you know, or 5 days later.
And then she has a Vesis 5 days in that case?
No, she has a Vesis for Rosh Chodesh. Even though the Re'iyah of Rosh Chodesh was Betoch Yemei Nidasa.
But what about, so you can, so the shortest possible Vesis is 7 days?
If, I guess 7 days later, yes. Yes. I mean, if you assume the Isha's Kovas Vesis, Benidasa, Benizivasa, yes, 7 days. That's quite a... Yeah. Okay, in fact, just read Rashi quickly, Danny, because now you'll understand what Rashi said here.
Okay.
Right, it's 20 plus 7. The chi. Right, day 22 is already well beyond 18. However, which is day 20, which is day 22 to her re'iyah, the ikdima. Which is 17. That's betoch yimei zivasa. It's before. It's 18 and before. To ema. Yeah, yom. Yom Asiri, not Esrim, and Yom Asiri Latvila, such as 17 more days, which would be day 100.
Lo te aser l'shemesh. The hakayim alam perek dila el, kol achad asar, becheskat tara, sheina mukzeket roa. Hilkat mishim chadazina, lo te chushla, de'achad yom ahava.
Right, that we are choshes. You might have said, you're not choshes for vesa sheina kavua b'meisi basa, because Kol acharas hayom arbecheskes tara is what the Mishnah says. So kamash malan that no, that even a pam achas you are chosheshes. At least so says. That's how Rapapa understand. That's that was how was Rapapa's understanding. Yes, Yehuda.
So if you have so could arashiv nikiim be a kula? Because if you bleed again during arashiv nikiim,
maybe you should feel like a choshesh for a veset 7 days later. If you bleed again at the end of Akshav and Akiyim,
right,
you are meikadin b'mezivatim, probably. That means you should be choshesh for a veset 8 days later. And why not? Why not?
But it's never going to come up. No, it won't, because let's say you bleed day one, and then in the middle of the Shivani Kim, which is day nine, you bleed. Right? You're never going to be mutter on day nine anyway.
No. You bleed.
Are you,
you should be close to 9 days later. You'll be
9 days later, right. If you really paskin that way, you should have to be careful about that as well. You're saying that Lagabe Prishas Haveses, Lagabe Prishas Haveses, the Chumra of Rabbi Zera can be Makalkal things. We'll have to see how we paskin that issue. Remember to be paskin. It looks like I don't know if we paskin that way. We may not.
You mean paskin being to me, so I tell you not.
Yeah. Yeah, it appears in the tzion you're not. That was one of the. By the way, the Mishnah that says Kol Cheskas Kol Yiral Fiyom B'Cheskas Tara, the Gemara has four different interpretations as to what that means. What's the nafkamina that when you say all 11 days she's B'Cheskas Tara? Because if she finds blood, she's bleeding. So one shita is that if you you don't need to do any bedikos. Another shita is that. If she's not matama meis leis, that's rejected. Some say ena kovas lo veses bimezivasa, and there's a fourth sheet in here somewhere also. But anyway, so bottom line is that it looks like that is actually rejected, based upon the letter. Okay. Right, right, correct. Because if you keep getting your shiva nikiyim, if you keep having stira,
right.
So, yeah. Okay.
Well, no, that's not true. Each steer will be within 7 days last year.
Yes, and eventually you get... I know, but it's not, it's not a normal case.
Right, it's definitely not normal. Like, if we did pass me this, it'd be a normal case. And that'd be a problem.
Right.
Yeah, a much more basic question than that. If, assuming this happened, let's say you're used to seeing every 25 days, then you start going into 17, and it happens 3 times in a row. So now you're kovei, you're veset, bimezi vata. So is it then from that point on it's no longer be mazy, but like what?
Say again. Let's see this again.
I mean, in this case, let's say every 28 days, I'll simplify it, every 28 days you bleed.
Right.
Okay? Then for 3 months in a row, it's every 17 days.
Right.
So you were now kovea, your vesa be mazy vata.
Correct. In other words, the ria of yemezi vasa counts towards the three. So the way it would work is, the first time you bleed, then let's say, it depends how long you bleed, now it will have an impact, but the first time you bleed, it will render you as Eishem Eishem Keneged Yom. You know, I'll be then. Let's forget.
The second time also?
Well, the second time you bleed, 17 days later. In other words, then 17 days later, it's going to be make you a Nida.
That wouldn't be
right.
The
look
second.
At, let me look at the following. Let's say the woman start with a
Yeah,
zero.
I hear what you're saying.
She
yeah,
bleeds
yeah,
on day 17.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
So funny.
No, you're just like speaking to you as if like, yeah, good, like, yeah,
no, I got what you were saying. You can keep doing it.
I know. So now what happens is, she bleeds, this makes her a Zava Katana. Let's assume that she bleeds one day. She's going to be Choshesh for day 34. If she bleeds then, that will make her, assuming she hasn't bled in between, that makes her Nida. Right?
Oh,
now,
sorry.
What's the next day she's Choshesh
for?
She's going to be Choshesh if she bleeds at day 51, which will make her a Zava Katana. That's all.
So if you held like the Rambam,
Don't even go there. As I said, I thought that the Ramban stuck a stake through a knife through the heart of the Rambam in this particular shita. You realize that some of these Gemaras obviously could lend themselves to alternative readings, which makes my head spin trying to think about how the Rambam might have read these Gemaras. And the whole concept, you may need Asa and you may Zivasa, fits nicely, you know, the expression itself with the Rambam. It does. Even though, I have a suspicion that if you try to parse these Gemaras, not our Gemara read here in Samach Talib, but if you try to go back to the Gemara in Lamed Tes, it's going to read, it might be the place where the Rambam sort of pulls out his Shita from. I'm not sure. It certainly doesn't have to be read that way, but whatever. But please don't do that to me. Okay. Fine.
Hey, Rabbi, in this case, assuming this continued for another 3 cycles, would her vessels be considered 17 days or 34 days?
17 days. Assuming that she bled on all those days. If you hold Isha Kovas Vessels, Bimei Zivasa, then it would be every 17 days.
And if not, then it would be...
I guess in this case, if you ignore 17, it might wind up being every 34 days. Yes?
Won't we still have a problem with not keeping track of Mezidata and Mezidata for Vesta purposes? We'll still have, even if we hold Eino Kovea Veset Beyond Zivata, we'll still have a problem because you'll accidentally think you're Kovea Veset when you really weren't, or vice versa.
Right now, we're not talking about people getting confused. We want to just know what the din is.
No, I know what the din is. That's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, like, for example, let's say you have a 17-day veset after your shipment to Kenan, or 5 days after your shipment to Kenan.
You translate for how many days is that?
Let's say that. What's it mean? Eino kovela veset beyond kovela.
It means that a re'ia, for the two questions, one is whether you're chosheshes for day 17 at all, and the second is, even if you're not chosheshes one time, can it actually contribute to kviyas aveses?
Right.
In other words, there is a position that would say you can be koveh aveses mezivasa, but pamachas you're not chosheshes. Rav Papa rejected that. Rav Papa's position obviously is predicated on an assumption that you can be koveh aveses betoch yimei zivasa, because if you couldn't be koveh aveses betoch yimei zivasa, what shayach being chosheshes pamachas, really? I mean, I guess you don't have to say it that way, but I assume Rav Papa believes that if you're Hosheshes Pamachas, you could also be Kovas, maybe.
So if you can't think about that, couldn't we have a Shiloh that comes up? Like, if you keep seeing blood a certain time, shouldn't we have a Shiloh whether you're Kovea Veset? Whether it undoes, let's say, a previous Kavia. If you keep seeing.
Even for itself.
Because it might be during a Mezivata.
I don't understand what's that.
So you bleed, let's say you bleed days 1, 2, 3, whatever, and then you, on day, like, after Shemini Kiyum and your 5 other days, so I guess after Shemini Kiyum and 5 other days, you're still inside the Amazing Data. So you have to bleed really soon after to do your problem.
Yes.
But if you do, you might have to be careful to not assume that, you might be careful and not assume that it's Veset if it's too soon after previous time. In other words, either to be chosh, to be not chosh of something else, or to undo.
I'm not understanding.
I'm making sense.
You may be making perfect sense.
What I'm saying is that, let's say the case. Let's say you keep bleeding one day after you become Rosh, which would be horrible for a lot of reasons.
Yes.
That would be terrible. You would not be Kovei Aveset, even if it happened 3 times.
If you hold Anisha Kabas Veset.
So you have to hold it, otherwise you have a bigger problem, which is the other problem I said, which is that you're Kovei Aveset. The Chumra for Bezer is not a Chumra, it's a Kula. We have other
problems.
We still have to.
Okay, I'm not
sure.
Can
you say Anisha can be
called? That's a question.
That means just this Yemeni.
Well, no. That's the only case is Rabbi Yochanan's odd case. Let's hold off the discussion on that. When we get to the earlier sugyas, when we go backwards, we'll deal with that. Let's just wait on that. Okay. Amar Papa. Thank you, Danny. A din.
Can I pass to a different day?
Sure. David?
Can I not read this time?
Okay, you get one pass. Okay.
Jeremy? Good. No, we read that right. Second one. So Rav Papa says that you only need to be oker it three times if you were koveh it three times. But if you were koveh it twice, if you had it twice, you only need one to uproot it. So the Gemara says, yeah, so why would you think you're koveya? So of course you don't need three times to be oker it, one time is enough. Gemara's answer is, you would have thought that, in other words, once you have a vesis kavua, you need three times to uproot it. But if you have a vesis shena kavua, so you would think that if you got it twice, in order to know that it's gone, you have to uproot it twice. So kamashmal, no, that, you know, easier come and even easier go. So if, as long as you haven't had it three times, it only takes one time to uproot it. Okay, go ahead. Now, when we say Yom Esrim and Yom Shloshim, is this a haflaga or is this a chodesh? What?
It has to be athletic.
Inconsistent.
Because there aren't 30 days every month.
So I think that we'll see in the continuation that you're going to have to make this a Vesas HaChodesh.
And we're assuming that every month is 30 days so that she can make a Vesas HaChodesh?
I think so. I think the assumption is we're having multiple months in a row where you have such a thing. I'll explain why I don't think it's a Haflaga in a little bit. Let's sketch this out. Yehuda, what were you going to say?
What is the halakha if you have a vessel on the 30th day? Do you do the 29th or first? Which day are you worried about?
I don't know. It's a question that's been bothering me as I'm going through these sugars. I don't remember I don't remember being discussed in the Beis Yosef and Torah. That doesn't mean it's not, it just means I don't remember it. Now, let's see. What is the seat? Let's read the Braisa again. Read it. There's three from the beginning slowly. Go ahead. Okay, now, the question is, do you want to try this? Let's try this my way first. Okay. She's got a Vesas Kavod. Shinsel Yom Shloshim. And I want to indicate the months. I'm just going to call them by their Torah names. Chodesh Harishon, Chodesh Harishon. Let's do that way. Okay, go ahead. And let me make it up. Okay. It means it didn't happen on 20. And now when it comes to, this is Re'ia. And this is Chashash. Okay, forget those for the moment. The Chashash was only going to be 20 here. Alright, next month, what was she Chosheshes for?
Both of those.
20 and 30. Okay, when does she see this month? Jeremy? Okay, and then? Okay. What's that?
Wait, Rabbi, wasn't the first one Zevazah Asurin?
Yeah. We're Choshe Shir for 20 and 30.
That's not
4. No. When it came on 4, all she had blood was on 20th days of the month. We could be Choshe for something that's never happened yet.
Okay.
Okay, fifth month of Choshesh for 20 and 30. Okay. Now, what happens next? Okay, she sees. Now let's go to month 6. What are you Choshesh for in month 6 now? What?
The 30th, not the 20th. Wait, it happened twice already, and it happened three times.
Happened. Oh. So what are we Choshesh for? 20th and 30th. Okay. Now, what happens here? Okay, now. I'll just put this one. Now,
What is she chosheshes for in month 7 before she finds out?
Just
20. Nothing. I see a lot. Okay, let's put up the opinions. We'll put that up here. One second. I have waited to do this. Gail, you said nothing. And Nell said. Okay, I heard David.
20.
Okay. Any other opinions here? Who agrees with Gail? Who agrees with Simser? That's not because I so majority at hand. I think that you're choshesh. And then the question you have to ask is, this would be, why is David correct? See, Rashi explains, why you're not choshesh for 30 here? I'm going to put 30 down here, and you're not choshesh. 20, you're choshesh. Why?
30 was never
kavua. 30 was never kavua. It's nekar b'tamachas. That's not a problem. But someone is going to say to me, how many times is 20 nekar? This is what Gail was saying, 3 times. So Gail says, okay, it's nekar 3 times, 20 doesn't exist anymore. But if Gail were right, what should happen in month 7? When she sees on the 20th, what should happen? It should be the first, it should be a Vesa Shena Kavua, but the Gemara says no. The Gemara says, once that happens, what happens in month 8? What is she choshesh for? The 20th, and not obviously the 30th. It almost goes without mention. Right? Why? It's not a because it was nekar 3 times. The answer is Rashi will say it's not an akira unless it's nekar to another day. Yes, David.
What if the 7th month was it not the 20th? Would it still be choshesh for the
20th? Yes. No. We wouldn't. If I'm not mistaken, we wouldn't. But then, unless you were koveya 3 times on a different day. If in month 8, let's say the 7th, you got 22. If month 8 you saw 20th, it comes back as a Vesis. In other words, a Vesis is not nekar. You're not, I would say, now that's why Gail could be right, but I don't think so. This, my raya to you, maybe it's not, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Gail is right, would be with the fact that that it returns in full force shows you that it's still there. I would argue, I don't know if we'll say for Rashi explicitly, I would argue that I guess maybe Gail is right, if that's correct. You're not going to be choshesh for the 20th. I don't know. I'm not sure what the din is. Whether you'd be, if this were 22, whether you'd be choshesh. If this were 22, you'd be choshesh for 22, and I'm not sure if you're still choshesh for 20. I don't remember. So, Yehuda, I take that back. Okay. You might be right. I'm not sure. Is that?
She didn't see anything on the 6th month.
Nothing. She didn't bleed. She got a vacation.
Okay. And so we said that.
A vacation from the curse of Chava. What's so funny about that? She got a reprieve. A curse of Chava, yeah. I believe, doesn't Rashi say that? What? No, he doesn't say Dam. Where do they talk about it? What's that? Medrash must say it if Rashi doesn't say it. Rashi doesn't say it. I think it's in the Medrash. Or maybe one of the Targumim. Okay. Anyway, so...
I mean, the Torah says that
Right, but that doesn't have to be Dam. But I thought that somewhere it says also. So anyway.
This is why you think it's Chodesh and not Chodesh.
What's that?
This is why you think it's Chodesh.
This is why, okay, now, but putting aside that question, this is why I think this is Chodesh and not Haflaga. Because if, let's try whoever suggested the other way. Let's talk about, let's forget the Chashash. Let's talk about the sequence of her Eos. Okay, I'm going to put it as 0 here. What day does she see? 20, 40, 60. What's the next Re'iyah?
90.
Okay, what's the next Re'iyah? 120. Okay, and what's the next Re'iyah?
170.
Well, let's see. I don't know. Because it says, it doesn't happen, it's neither 140 nor 150, right? Right?
And then, how do you get it next time on day 20?
It would have to be after 150, because it says it gets to the 30, then nothing happens. So
you're talking about 170.
Yeah.
So why is she kabas a 20-day vesas here? Why is it chazal kanusa? It's 50 days in between. That's why I don't think it's talking about, oh no. Yes.
No, I didn't. I was thinking about this. The shikatcha, it should be 20 and 30, because 30 was never okay either. It's a one-time vesed we worry about.
Slow down. You got me confused here. What are you saying?
I approved previously. What were we talking about?
60 to 90 to 120.
No, previously. Before that. You have a question of how many days, what are you kosher for on the seventh month? You should be kosher for 20 and 30. So
now, 30
is never okay either. Just because of one day.
I would argue that a vesed shena kavua doesn't, the absence is an akira. A vesed kavua, you need to be nekar to something else. What?
I don't see where you get the filler from.
Okay, maybe that's so. Maybe there are three possibilities. Okay. There's a comment in Rashi somewhere. It says Akira of a Vesas Shena Kavua require an Akira Mamash or just an absence.
Okay.
Okay.
I would really say that it's really weird. I don't see. It's kind of strange to say but the Lashon of the Gemara sounds like two make something that would not be. You could argue that two would be different than one in this case.
It's hard for me. Yeah, I know, but it's.
We talk about two being kavua, but okay, but pam echad, and we talk about one as just being chayish.
I
don't know about that.
But that very reason is why I think even two doesn't make a difference. That's why if you're going to be choshesh for anything, you're choshesh for the 20 and not the 30. Maybe not choshesh at all. I don't know.
It says explicitly at the beginning of this mema.
He says that only once is required to uproot two.
Right. So it means you have to uproot it.
The question is missing it also count as an uprooting?
So I don't see why you'd be mechalek between.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe we will come up with the answer at a later point.
Judah?
But are we muskum that it's hard to imagine that it's the Vesas Aflagos? There is a way around it, by the way. The way around it, but it's not really going to work, is to a hypothetical Re'ia, where Rapapa is going to have in some context at the end of Lama test. But I don't think it works so well. It doesn't work so well. Judah?
My question is that the first thing when Rapapa seems to be talking about Aflaga, because when it's just Chamisha Asar, it's talking about this Fila. So does that mean that the Gemara was changing from Aflaga to
Kodesh? Yes. Well, it means where Papa is.
He's talking within the mission,
No, I would say better. No. It's the whole point, the principle that something that's nikva twice can be uprooted with just once, that's true both by Haflagos and by Yemei HaChodesh. Rapapa's commentary on the Mishnah, which might be Haflagos, the Braya may be brought for Habraisa that happens to be Yemei HaChodesh. That doesn't matter, though. Yosef?
Established that Rashi seems to
hold like censor.
Does he? Where? The first Rashi in the Daf.
Samath Alam Beis. No, I'm not so sure. Maybe I misread it, but I didn't see now. V'nesar yom esrim haba sharei lamuda be'esrim v'lo akratu ela shnei pamim sharei akira achrona shal esrim achrona shelo rasa she'achar ha-shloshim ha-shlim lav akira hi sharei lo shinsa leyom shloshim ha-shlishim v'lo rasa yom esrim l'chodesh Kivesta. So firstly, that's the first place I see in Rashi that's Befeirish, it's Lachodesh. But that doesn't contradict, Yael.
And Rabbi Kirahi is not talking about the fact that there were three 30s?
Yes,
Rabbi. No, agreed. But the question is, the ramifications are, what does nafka mean in that? He's suggesting that it means you're still Choshesh for 20, but Gael could say all it means is that when you get 20 in month 7, you now have a Vesas Kavua again. 20 is Kavua again.
So it's just a question of whether or not...
The real question that's involved here is, do you have to be Hosheshes in, let's see, you're Hosheshes for 2020, and it's the third time it was Nekar, but it wasn't Nikpa to a different day. This is the debate. The debate is, do you have to be Hosheshes for 20?
Until the 20 comes back again.
Right. Once the 20 comes back once, that's a Vesas Kavua. You would need three times again to uproot it.
As opposed to just saying that...
In other words, let's say in month 8, in the sequence, she saw 30. What are you chosheshes for the next month? The answer is, in month 9, you'd be chosheshes for 20 and 30.
Right.
Because the 20, because that's the Vesas Kavua. And the 30, because it's the Vesas Shena Kavua. All right, so that's... So originally our suggestion was that the two choices were in month 7, the two choices here were either going to be 20 and not 30, or not 20 and not 30. But now Gail is suggesting that we can even have 20 and 30.
Saying until the 20
until you're okay the 30th.
You're saying until the 20 needs to reestablish itself, even though
so that you don't cannot be closer to the 30th.
Even though we're all agreeing it was never Makar in the first place, it's just a question of whether or not it needs to reestablish itself.
Correct. Correct. In other words, it was uprooted 3 times, but the Akira doesn't count as an Akira because the third one was by omission
right.
of any period as opposed to commission of another period.
But it still might be that it needs to reestablish itself before you ever consider it.
Even Koshek, right. That would be this position.
Yeah,
right.
Does it not matter the fact that the case of the Gemara includes that day of 20 as if it's significant?
Which case of 20? Which
month? Tells us that number 7 is 20, that she won on 20, right? That would be insignificant unless it were trying to tell us that that's the reason that she starts considering 20 again.
Well, that's exactly why the Gemara gives us that case. And the chiddush is that even though she missed 23 months in a row, because she wasn't koveya to another day 3 months in a row, 20 comes back. No, she didn't have 3 other re'iyas. She only had 2 other re'iyas.
Right.
She missed 3 20s, but only had 2 other re'iyas.
If we were to hold on to Gail's meaning, right, that it's not, that it stays 20 no matter what, then it wouldn't matter whether or not she went on the 20th day, the 7th time. She would still be holding 20 forever.
You mean, this is Gail number 2?
The first one. The zero 20. The 20, not 30.
Oh, that's censored.
Sorry, not 20, not 30.
Right. So not 20, not 30 would continue until she bled
right,
on some point.
Would continue.
And so would for your Hoshesh for 20 and 30, according to Gail's second opinion, but also you would continue until you bled once. Right? Because they were never Nekar, is his point. I don't think that last opinion is likely to be correct intuitively. I think it's going to be one of the first two opinions. And I'm inclined to think the way David says, but I don't have any proof of that.
And the fact that it could end at 20, the fact that case 7 only needs to exist to reestablish the fact that it's
20,
20
right.
The Gemara's case could end after number 6 and then just say, oh, Vanessa or Esrim.
Correct.
Forever. The fact that
correct.
It has
well,
to say the next one means it seems to imply that that's the only thing that's making her Hoshesh for 20 ever again. Otherwise, the case could end before that and she'd still be Hoshesh 20 forever.
Yes, but the difference is the chiddush of giving us the next month of 7 is so that 20 becomes kavua, not just that you choshesh. Right, now you could say she choshesh for 20, but what would happen if in month 7 she bled on day 30, 20 is gone. 20 is history. But because she bleeds on 20 in month 7, 20 is back in full force. The only thing she knows now is a vesas kavua of 20. And it's like being at Chodesh 3. And having blood on 20. That's the chiddush of the Brisa. It's to teach you that one return of a Vesas Kavua when it hasn't been truly, truly Nekar means you're back to square three of that Vesas Kavua. Okay, does that address it?
Yeah, sort of. Right.
Do you want me to... You want to
nah,
go?
It's not worth it.
Okay. Daniel,
I'm
a night's sleep may help. Okay.
I'm correct in thinking that you can only be okay on Vesed by being Koveya on new Vesed. A Vesed Kavua.
You can only totally... But let me just wait. If you have 3... Let's say you know, she normally bleeds 20, 20, 20. And then she bleeds 22, and then 26, and then 21. Now you're not Hoshesh for 20 anymore. She had 3 Akiras.
Oh.
But if she's not Koveya to another day, I believe we're going to see when we get to the Beis Yosef, if she's not Koveya to another one specific day... When she bleeds on 20 again, the Vesas Kavua.
Only if she bleeds on 20 again.
Correct.
I mean, if she just
correct.
Gets random assorted.
Correct. Then, right. But day 20 is still the only Vesas Kavua that's lurking in the background. Once she's bled already 3 times on other days, she's not Choshesh for it at all until it comes back
so
once.
So what would you call 20 in that scenario? It's not
a Vesas Kavua. A Vesas Kavua Taloi. How's that?
That continues forever?
Forever until she's Kovea Vesas to a different day. If she had saw 20, 20, 20, and then a series of random numbers, and then she sees 30, 30, 30, 20 is as if it never existed anymore. And 30 is the new 20. There you go. Yeah.
So,
that was not a planned line. It just came out that way.
Let's say someone who bleeds 20 koyamaha, then she misses 3 months in a row. It's mislekat tamim. Then she sees 30, 30, 20. Does she have...
You're giving me nightmares this morning as I was learning through Daf Yud, which is probably the hardest Dabim in the Masechta. And if you got, Sam, did you get the Daf Yud? Yeah, it's really hard. Ted Rashi, you have to read Rashi slowly and carefully. Very slowly and carefully. The way it should be prefaced with it, this Rashi is very dangerous. Take it slowly. Well, the part of the problem is that two lashonos there. There's another lashon thrown in. It's a little confusing. But anyway, so my answer to you, if I alma galachas, and you're not going to challenge me, is in that case, 20 is harvezes kavua once it comes back, because she wasn't okeres to, and she wasn't kovas another day. But that's assuming. I don't know what's the in general when you have a mesulakas damim. And then, let's say, not 30, 30, 20. She's mesulakas damim for 120 days, and then she bleeds once. Now the question is she chosheshes for day 20 after that? I'm not sure, but even on the yach that she's not... What? No, but that one is not a haflag of 20 days. You know, so she bled 0, 20, 40, 60, 80. And now she doesn't bleed for 100 days. It's 180 days, and she bleeds 180... So the haflaga was 100. I think everybody would agree. Well, then the question would be, is she chosheshes for day 180 plus 20? And even if she's not, if she bleeds on day 200, is that a vestis kavua of 20 days haflagas or not? All right, that was bad. Let me go. I'm sorry, that was terrible what I just did. I switched haflagas. So I'll go back to chodesh. She bleeds every 20th day of the month. Then she skips 4 months. That's where you were going, right? And now, she's not chosheshes for anything. She bleeds on... You know, she bled 20 of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan. She doesn't bleed on the 20th day. And now comes Kislev. She bleed. What?
Did she bleed on
no, no, or she's a Mishulakis Dam. That's his question. She bleeds on 20th of Kislev. Okay? Obviously, she couldn't be Choshesh for anything until that point.
But
Mishulakis
Dam is not Choshesh for anything.
No, not for anything. But I want to know about Chazara.
But that's how I had to bleed 3 times.
So I
wanted her to be...
I understood. Now, so she bled Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan. I don't need more than that. She doesn't bleed Tammuz, Av, Elul, give me Tishrei also, just for safety's margin. Mar Cheshvan comes. She bleeds on the 20th. Is that a Vesnes Kavua or not?
How could she? She's not even
Muxa Kavua. Oh, so you want to talk about Lohigia's man on the list?
You
are not allowed. Are you doing Mikias?
No.
What?
Maybe.
Well, you should be. And until you learn Daf Yud, don't ask me this question.
Okay.
It's a way to get out of it.
Tazdin. Are we saying it is Chozer?
Like, what?
Are we saying it's Chozer and that is her?
It depends. It depends whether he gives a man on Liros or Loi gives a man on Liros. If she's so young, that's unusual, but she bled already 3 times, and then she becomes Mesulak Estam. If she stops, that may be, you have to be, she needs to bleed 3 times again to be Kovas, to be Mosekes Bedamin. But if she, a girl is already Higias Manaliro, she only needs to bleed once to be Mosekes Bedamin, to be concerns of Dayashaita, and theoretically Vestas as well. So that's why I said you have to, you know. Daniel?
In the logical extension of something you said a couple of minutes ago, she has a Vesek Kavua.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then she sees...
Chodesh or Haflaga?
Haflaga.
Okay.
Then she sees 3 random days. Okay, so now it's a Veset Kavua Tolor.
So she saw 0, 20, 40, 60, and then she sees 83, then 102, then 128.
So now it's Tolor.
How many times did she bleed on the wrong day? Three? Okay, so now she's not Choshesh for what was her Vesas Kavua. She's Choshesh only
for the most
for
recent,
the recent Re'iyah, you know, Chodesh, Haflaga.
What had been her Vesas Kavua again. So now it's back after
right.
One time.
Yeah.
Now it's back as a Vesas Kavua.
Yes.
And it takes 3 more times
yes.
to get rid of it again. It's yes. not just that it's the most recent one.
Yes.
It's actually back in full force.
Yes, that's what the Brisa says, what Papa says here. Vanessa Yom Esther Mipnei Sh'orach Bizman Oba. He doesn't mean Vanessa Yom Echad in terms of you know, you see, he means Rashi says Vanessa Yom Esrim Habashrei Lemuda Besrim Veloakratu Ela Shnei Pamim Shirakira Achrona Shalesrim Achrona Shalurasa Shachar Shloshim Shneim Labakira He Sharei Lo Shin Saleim Shloshim. She didn't bleed a different day. Hashlishim.
Anyway, my case was.
I know, but it wouldn't should matter. Velorasa Yom Esrim Lachodesh Kevesta. That's all. Okay. It's just that to get it back by Haflaga. Right, you need two Re'ios, but that doesn't matter here. She was getting random Re'ios, so that's fine. Yeah, see the question or no?
Yeah. You said that in month 7, she will not have to be Kol Sheshet for day 30?
We had three Shitas here.
So I think, Rabbi, that you addressed this, but when the Baisa said, when the Baisa said, Vigia Yom Hashem Devasa Husar Yom Shoshim, so doesn't that imply that in the previous month,
Or this was a bad discussion to have. She's only chosheshes for the 30, obviously, if she didn't bleed on the 20. That's not under discussion in the Gemara. So you're bringing a proof that Gael the second is correct. The second incarnation of Gael is correct. Because you're saying that had she not bled on 20 in day 7, then it's not Huta Yom Shloshim.
Right.
Okay. I'm asking for that for now. So Yehuda, which one? Yehuda the second is, I think, correct. I'm asking for that for now. The only reason why she's not, the reason why Hutar Yom Shloshim is because she bled on the 20th. Had she not bled on the 20th, then presumably Lo Hutar Yom Shloshim. Now I take as a given in this conversation, there is another possibility which we did not entertain. There's the marker. This is a little confusing here because this. We didn't entertain the possibility of. I would still not entertain that possibility. Right? If she's Chosheshes for the 30th, which she didn't see the last month, which is a Vesa She'ena Kavua, then if she has to be Chosheshes that, she's certainly Chosheshes for what's still called her Vesa's Kavua. That we can agree upon, right? Okay. So that last one is just not a possible consideration. But we'll be masking that. I think that this is probably the correct one based upon Yossi's Hera. Okay?
Rashi
emphasizes that Yossi's probably right. And it's just the language of the Gemara itself. Huta Yom Shloshim. Yeah.
So meaning we're saying if the
you don't need to say it anymore. You figured it out.
Right.
But 20th and 30th, until, in other words, it sounds like you're choshesh for a vesa she'ena kavua until you uproot it once. And uprooting means seeing on a different day. That's correct. You want to say maybe that's only by two, not by one. But based upon Rav Papa's previous comment, I think that unlikely.
Russian is different. Russian is Lomei Chashwa, Lachava Zimna, Chaisha. As opposed to by two, he says, the Kavate Tot, he calls it Kviya.
The Kviya is only because the Hava Mina that you would need two to undo it. I don't think that's a Kviya. I hear, but I think it's unlikely.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Kinen upischei nida, hein gufei Torah. This is bechlau pischei nida. Okay. Let us turn back now to daf pes vav amud aleph.
Why is the
Brisa support for Papa? Because you see that you only need to see once on the 20th. To uproot the 30th. You see that a Vesa Shena Kavua twice is Nekar the Pamachas. Right? Ideally, the Brisa that would have taught us this would not have been this Brisa. You would have had a Brisa that said 30, 30, 30, 30, 30. I'm sorry, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 30, 30, 20. That's what you would have liked, but this still proves the point anyway. Okay.
I can
fill my past now. Oh, okay, fine. Who was reading for you a moment ago, just so I... Okay. You know, we'll come...
You read the last line.
What? Are you, okay, I'm sorry, anyone. Go ahead. It's a kanoi for the Kriya. Right, the Orach Bisman Oba. The Orach means her regular pattern has come in its time. I mean, Orach refers to her period, but Bisman Oba, Zeh Shechazar Lashuv Yom Esrim Bisman Oba Rishon Ba. Okay, fine.
Why is it called?
Like why?
It doesn't mean like Orach.
No. What does Orach mean?
Derech.
Yeah. The. By the way, I never thought about it. I mean, they're obviously semantically related. Orach is a traveler. But the word for derech in Aramaic, the targum of derech is urcha. We'll say urcha lemechse. Her derech is to see in the following pattern. Okay. Fine. I don't want to call that in Aramaic and Hebrew, because the word Oreach itself. Is there a pasuk Orach Prag Lavloyev? I suspect you have in Biblical Hebrew Orach. I mean the way, not a messenger, not a wayfarer.
Orach
Kanashim. Okay, that's idiomatic. I want to know what Orach is literally, you know, away. Orach Prag Lavloyevo is somewhere a pasuk, and that means away. It means a road. What? Anyway. What does that mean? La Rutz Orach. I don't know.
On the way?
By Orach? Okay. I don't know. I guess it has to be. Yeah, there's no other way to translate it. Fine. Tashav Ralph, Adin, please. So what does this mean?
It's not to see the woman do a bedika right before the hatashmash or the engaged hatashmash, she can assume.
Well, it's not even just see. She doesn't have to do a bedika. We'll look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? Okay. Now, what about the second half of the Mishnah?
So the second half means if you return from a journey, let's say, your wife is Befes Kastara and you can have hatashmash without a bedika. Or probably... You can have
the two halves of this Mishnah don't read well together. Not if you interpret the first half the way Rashi does, which would appear, in other words, the Gemara asks Akasha, why do you have to tell us Habayim min HaDerech? Read the first line in the Gemara. I don't know, I'm still struggling. The first, believe it or not, some of you I know hit some roadblocks in the latter part of this sugya, in the continuation, but I believe that fundamentally the most difficult part of the sugya is the opening part. It really requires a little bit of work. Go ahead. Now, firstly, what's the question of the Gemara?
That seems absolutely redundant.
You said, Kol Anashim. Kol Anashim includes Haboyim Min HaDerech. Kol Anashim includes those who are not Boyim Min HaDerech. So what do you have to tell us Kol Min HaDerech? So the Gemara says... What's going on here?
So that if the woman knows that her husband is just at work, let's say, and she knows he's coming home that night, then we presume she'll do a bedika and that she will check that she's not. Am I already wrong?
Well, just think about how that fits with the first part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah, the way you read it, says you don't require a bedika. Period. Kol anashu meches kastar al valeim. You don't require a bedika. So if he's ba min haderech, you would have thought that because he's not in the city, he's lo ramin afsha to do bedika kamashmal, and that even so what? Even so, she does a bedika. But you just said she doesn't need a bedika. Yeah.
My question I have, well, yes, you never talked about this throughout the sugya, is it talking about that she doesn't have to, that he doesn't have to ask her, or that she doesn't have to do a bedika?
Which part? First or second half of the Mishnah? Start with the first half. Are you talking about the first or the second half? No, start with the first half. Rashi claims you don't have to read the Mishnah like Rashi. I mean, I'm not sure if it becomes clear in the Gemara, perhaps. But the first half, Rashi says, the Mishnah is telling you that a woman doesn't require a bedika. So the Gemara's explanation of why you have to tell us Habayim and Aderech, I don't understand. Habayim and Aderech, I would have thought, what? That she wouldn't bother to do bedikos because he's not there? Kamash Malan, that what? She does bedikos anyway?
No. Just like Kamash Malan, that even though she's not doing bedikos, it's okay.
But we knew that from the first statement in the Mishnah. There's no chiddush by Bam in Aderech. The first statement of the Mishnah, the way it was explained, was Kol Anasha Meches Chastar, and they don't need a Bedika, which, by the way, is not a...
The point is that, the first statement of the Mishnah is Rashi told us to discuss something else. So when you read the second statement of the Mishnah, you don't know that the same rules apply. So the chiddush is that, yes, they do.
But I understand, except for that, in this first half of the Mishnah, Rashi seems to have established that there is no requirement of bedika labayla. Right? That's what it's telling you. Kol hanashim becheskas talayim do not require bedika. Now, abayim and aderech, should it be any different? Right? Kol hanashim.
We don't
know that yet. We're figuring that out in the Gemara. But the Gemara doesn't say kamash balah. I mean, you could read that as kamash, but it doesn't sound like that in the Havamina. The Havamina is, I would have said, because I would have assumed that the din is... Again, salkadai techamina hanimili what? Hanimili what? In Greece, kol hanashim becheskas talayim. Right? Because hey chadisa b'masa de ramen hashir batka. Aval hacha by b'min aderech de lo isa b'masa de leisa b'masa de ramen hashir lo. Kamash malan. Well, Zach, you understand the problem, Jeremy? I read through this Gemara a few times, and the first time around, and it didn't bother me, and I started to read through the Gemara again to repeat going over the sugya to really parse it, and it's like, something's not adding up. Zach, what are you going to say?
I thought that it was the Gemara assumes when it's called Hashem Mechesas Tara Balehen that she does bedika. When Rashi is below bedika, I thought he meant meaning right before Tara. We don't require her to do bedika before Tara. So here, so you might say that Habayim Yaderech, since their husband's not allowed, she hasn't done bedika at all. She hasn't been worrying about it. She's not learning to worry about it.
So you want to read the following. You want to read in light of the first mission in the parak, which is that kol hayad hamar ben livdok benashim meshubachas benashim tikotzer, and then derech benos Yisrael misham shows b'shnei edim echad lo v'echad la v'atznuos m'shlish l'tzak and abayis, and so on and so forth, and then right.
No, I would say that was a question. That would be a question of this, because when we say in the first parak that hitz yichur rabbanon to do a bedika before that.
Oh no! But the whole point is that as you see on the sugya on Amud Beis, that's only by asuka v'taros. That's the whole resolution to the problem. In other words, an isha does not require bedika labayla if she doesn't deal with taros. Yes, that mishnah of pa'amim. You know, why did they make a takana for them to be bodekas shachris and arvis? Zach. Shachris v'arvis. What was the point?
No, not shachris v'arvis. I'm talking about lifnei tash v'arvis.
No, I understand, but those bedikos were only atu that they were making. Bedikos and shachas v'arvis because the taros. They also imposed upon her labayla. But this mishnah is talking about when she's not asuka b'taros. That's what the amoraim are going to say on daf tesvav amud beis. It seems to be, I think, not contradicting the gemara as far as I can tell. Now it is interesting, by the way, because you're going to see there are a couple of rishonim who understand that when they said that a woman who's not a suka bataris doesn't require bedika labayla might only be both bedikos, or there are three possible bedikos by Tashmish. One for her before and one for each of them afterwards. So a couple of minority opinions have shown them. We reject them. We assume that Isha labayla, no bedika, if she's not a suka bataris, which is what we have is manazet, there are no bedikos, period, around Tashmish, before or after for anybody. But there are shitos, minority opinion. The Rama believes, I think, that a woman always requires bedika, I remember, before or after Tashmish.
Oh, yes.
And there's another shita, one minority opinion, Ashkenaz, that has one of the bedikos or something like that. But that's at least for a woman who has a Vesas Kavua. We have to talk about a woman who doesn't have a Vesas Kavua. That will be discussed. Lamaisa, we also don't do bedikos there. But, all right? So for the moment, when the Mishnah says, whether this could actually be a basis for the Rambam, I don't know.
In other words, this might actually, as I'm thinking about it, might serve as a little bit of a proof for Rishonim who want to say you do need some bidikos. The Mishnah wasn't eliminating all bidikos, it was only eliminating one of the bidikos. I'm not sure if you can help with the Gemara. But leaving that aside for the moment, if there was no chiyuv of bidika for tashmish, before or after, and we're talking about before, kol anashim mecheskas tara lalem, no bidikos required. As a matter of principle. So then, habayim en aderech, yeah, what's the chiddush? And when the Gemara says, I would have thought that a guy who's on the way, he's not there. In other words, well, I would have thought Hani Mili, the first part of Mishnah, is because he's there, Rami Anav Shebatka, but Abam in Aderech, because he's not there, Lo Rami Anav Shebatka, Kamashbal on what?
She does check regularly.
But we said in the first half, you don't need to check.
But the Havamina is that she checks.
The Havamina is that we would have drawn a distinction between when he's home versus when he's traveling, whether she checks or not. Kamash Malan, and you want to say that we draw no distinction and that she checks anyway.
That's clear from the words.
No, you don't know what the Kamash Malan is. Well, I'm going to give you an alternative.
Why not?
Okay, so but Zach, but then explain to me what does the ratio of the Mishnah mean?
She doesn't even check with her. She
don't have to check before Tashmish.
In the safe, but you do have to check in general, like at different times of day.
When do you have to check? If you don't have to check, on the assumption, unless you want to say, and again, the purpose of the bedikos of Shachas and Arbis is for Taros. Whether or not the Mishnah assumes you would still need those bedikos is irrelevant. They shouldn't impinge upon her status labayla. The whole point is you don't need bedika for Tashmish.
I understand.
So why does the Gemara frame that Havamina, as I would have thought that only someone who's, when he's at home, does she do bedikos?
Yeah, maybe she does regular bedikos that aren't a chiyu, but there's something that women generally do.
But why should that impact upon her head there, labayla?
What do you mean? The fact that she doesn't do
If she didn't do any bedikos, is she muteres labayla or surah labayla?
We'll say she's a surah because we assume she's not paying any attention.
She doesn't require any bedikos, labayla. And who said, okay, so that's a possibility. There is another possibility, by the way. There is another possibility. Kamash Malan, not that she does bedikos when the husband is away. Kamash Malan...
She never needs...
It's because she needs bedikos.
That's
how we know how to read the Mishnah as saying that an Isha doesn't require bedikos. The Gemara often doesn't fill in the Kamash Malan. I would have said the Havamina was that the only reason why Habay Min HaDerech Nesheim Lahem Beches Kastara is because she does bedikos, and in the case of Ba Min HaDerech, where she's not going to do it, she'd be Asura Lo Kamash Malan, that the reason why she's Muteris in the first place is not because she does bedikos, but because she doesn't need bedikos, and there is no distinction between the two.
Rashi's
working with the Maskana.
Could you ask them why had the first clause at all?
You could ask that even now. Right? In other words, even if you want to say like Zach wants to say, is that what you wanted to say?
Well, I guess I'm not exactly the difference. You want to say that we don't require... The Mishnah means...
When we said Kalanashim Mecheskas Talav Alehin, that could have been because the wives are regularly doing bedikos and they would have said something so the husband doesn't have to ask. Then the question is, why does the Mishnah tell us Habam in Aderech? Well, the answer is, so you would have thought that in that case they're not doing bedikos because the husband isn't there, and therefore it's different than the first part of the Mishnah. Kamash Malan what? So you're saying Kamash Malan that they're doing bedikos there as well. But according to you, fundamentally it means that an Isha Labayla does need bedikos, just not right before Tashmish. And I'm asking, just because she's not doing bedikos Ba'alma, why does it render her Tamea? If she doesn't need to do a bedikah B'Shas Tashmish, the fact that she shouldn't do bedikah Shachmish, why does that make her Asura Labayla?
Sure, but the first sentence in the Mishnah, then it has to mean, Kol Nashi Mecheskas Tara Balehem means either that she Mecheskas, that she does Bedika.
Bedikos, yeah, or?
Or that Mecheskas Tara means we don't need...
You don't need Bedikos to buy them.
We always assume she's...
In other words, until she knows, and she doesn't have to do Bedika for Tashmish. Assuming it's Shlo B'Shas Vesta, assuming she has a Vesta.
She doesn't have to do Bedikas at all.
Correct.
Not before Tashmish, but at all, ever.
Correct.
She could be 40 years old and never done a Bedika.
Correct, if she's not Asuka Bataros and never had Tashmish. Well,
she had, no, she says, but Tashrei doesn't have anything to do with it.
No, she's done bedikos because presumably she's become a nida and has to do bedikos then. Right? She has to do bedikos b'shas vesta too.
That's what I think the Mishnah's talking about is at the end, but the second hava mina is that when a person or a woman's husband is away, she doesn't worry about the fact that she's a nida ever because she has nothing to worry about, so she's not doing any bedikos. Gemara Shmuelon, even when she's away, there are things she does bedikos for.
I understand the way you're reading it, but what I'm telling you is that the Lamaskana, unless you're saying what the Mishnah says, Kol Nashim Becheskas Tara Levalehen, as Rashi explains, Belo Bedika, Shlohuskar Bedika Elala Sukha Bataros, Rashi is clearly assuming that there are no, she does no Bedikas at all if she's not a Sukha Bataros. Not before Tashmish, not Shachris, not Arvis. And that makes sense, because if you're not a Sukha Bataros, there's no reason to Bedika Shachris and Arvis. But you don't even need Bedika B'Shas Tashmish. So then the whole Havamina and the way you wanted the Maskana of the Gemara contradicts Rashi's reading in the first half of the Mishnah.
Right. So then the other way of reading it, so what is the first part of the Mishnah?
So the other way of reading it is that the second, what the Gemara is saying is that the second line in the Mishnah demonstrates to you how to understand the first line in the Mishnah, which is not to read it the way you want to read it, but to read it as no bedika required. And the riot to that is because Abba Min Aderech, where she's not doing bedikos, because it's La Rami Anafshei. So I would have thought, if the Mishnah only said the first line, I would have said, Kol Nashim Becheskas Tarav Aleihen, and because that, even though they don't have to do bedika B'Shas Tashmish, because they're doing bedikos generally. Kamash Malan, that no, the reason why Kol Nashim Becheskas Tarav Aleihen is because you don't require bedikos for Tashmish. V'haraya, Abba Min Aderech, Ishto Becheskas Tarav. And she's not doing bedikos because Laram Yanafsha. If you read the way you're reading, it contradicts Rashi's reading on the Mishnah. That's all I'm pointing out. And the way, right? And in fact, the way we paskin also. Do you understand my problem, Zach? Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had a problem with Rashi with that without Rashi's comment.
Okay. Well,
okay. Unfortunately, Rashi says what on the beginning opening lines of the Gemara?
That she doesn't need bedikah at all.
Opening lines of the Gemara. What does he say? Nothing. That's the problem. I want to know how Rashi read this. I have not a clue. This is a case, by the way, also to go checking Kisvayad if these lines appear that way in the Gemara. I'd be really... It wouldn't shock me out of my mind, but I'm not really... I don't know. I don't know. I doubt it, but it's always possible you find something and then would explain why Rashi doesn't comment, why he reads the way he does. Donnie?
What would Rashi do with the Gemara and Yudalek in the base that quotes this Mishnah and says that Nigo de Asuka, what is it? The last word of the line is Tanina, like two-thirds of the way down.
No, Tanura, but why I'm just saying Amar Rehu Damar Shmuel Lo Shano Elav Isha Asuka B'Taros. Yeah, the Migo Dabai B'Dikla Taros Bayin Ami B'Dikla Bayla. Aval Ine Asuka B'Taros Lo Bay B'Dika. Ma Lo Bay B'Dika. Right, and that's what Rashi says. That is Rashi's Perush. Rashi says this is an Isha who's not doing B'Dikos for Taros, which means the other B'Dikos because she doesn't need to because she doesn't use Taros.
Okay.
So therefore, and the Gemara says My Kamash Malon Mas Nisan Tanina Kol Nashim Mecheskas Tarav Aleihen. Right, so they say that you could read the Mishnah as only being by a woman who has a Veses Kavua. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is being Mechadish by Veses Kavua. That's the opening Chiddush. I mean, it's clear they're reading the Mishnah the way Rashi says on the Mishnah. So the question is, what do you do with the Shalk of the Tariot? Zach, just step that way. Okay, Mati, where are you? Can you step in for Zach? Right, what do you do with the Shalk of the Tariot of the Gemara? I don't know. It's odd to me that Rashi doesn't say anything. I don't know what to do with it. In fact, at least I saw the Rashba also, and I don't think he comments on it either. I think the first thing he comments is on the next part of the Gemara. I mean, now I'm getting very curious as to what the Kisvayat said. It's odd that there's no comment in Rashi on it. Again, I can only say the Tosfos and Rashba don't comment on it. Rashba surprises me more if there was something there. And it doesn't fit with the Gemara earlier.
Are you suggesting that Rashi's comment on the Mishnah was really on the line in the Gemara?
No, Rashi's comment... No, 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 no.
You're not saying that's...
No, no. Rashi's comment on the Mishnah is based upon... The explicit Gemara. I mean, say the Maskana. I don't know what the Maskana is here. It's an explicit reading on Yidalef on the base.
Okay.
Right, as the Mishnah is explicitly understood that way, that there's no bedikos for a woman. There are no regular bedikos for an Isha who does not engage dealing with Taros. Okay. None. Since she doesn't require bedik, the other bedikos, she doesn't require bedika labayla either. I mean, the Chacham only required bedika by Tashmish because of the other bedikos.
So what's the issue?
The Gemara implies that she does require bedika here, and you would have thought that Haba Min Aderech Nash Ishto is not Becheskas Tara because she's not Ramya Nafshe Abadka. Kamash Malan what?
So the simplest reading is the way Zach wants to read, Kamash Malam, that she is Rami Nafshe Batka, even though he's not there. She anticipates his possibility of his returning home. But the problem is that runs counter to the Gemara Yud Alpha and Beis' reading of the Mishnah, and counter to what Rashi says in the Mishnah, probably based upon the Gemara Yud Alpha and Beis.
I'm saying, is there anything wrong with your reading? I understood your reading.
Because it's a stretch. If
why
the gears is
why your reading is a stretch?
Because my instinctive reading would have been, in other words, Hani Mili, I would have assumed. Yeah, you know what? I actually like my reading. I'll tell you why. What my reading is to say, I'm going to read the Gemara again. I'll read it as follows. Now, I think my reading is pshat.
Yeah.
Had his reading been pshat, it would have been, avalhecha de lesa mamasa, lo ramya anafshe. Not dilo ramya anafshe. Dilo ramya anafshe is a fact. Lo ramya anafshe is, I would have thought, lo ramya anafshe, kamash malon, ramya anafshe. Right? But the Gemara, the pshat is, where it's a fact, the Laram and Avshe, I would have thought, therefore it's Asura, Kamash Malon, that she's Muteris, not because we assume she's doing Bidikos, but she's Muteris because you don't need Bidikos. Mati, what do you think now?
No, my question is a little different. I was asking about, how can we say that their Bechess is Tara, isn't this a Chazaka that's going to change? It's like a Chazaka Rula, it's bound to change.
So it's a weaker Chazaka. In the sense, it's a chazaka, where the assumption as the Gemara's continuation is, that it's a woman, let's say, who has a veses where the veses hasn't arrived yet.
Okay, yeah.
And therefore, the assumption is that she's not going to have blood yet. Right? The Gemara will come upon that. Keep in mind also that this line in the Gemara is probably one of the last lines to be put in the sugya. It's totally anonymous. I assume the Amoraic discussion precedes it. But sometimes it is, I'm not telling you for sure here, I haven't really thought about it carefully, but a line like this may often be predicated upon knowing what the maskana of the Amoraim will be later, rather than being the opening salvo. In general, you look at, there's one sugya that we did somewhere, I'm trying to remember, was it in, which Masechta was this in? I don't know if it was in Ksubos, was it at the beginning of the third parak? I think it was the beginning of the third parak in Ksubos. The opening sugya of the parak knew maskanos of later sugyos in the parak. Because the opening sugya of the parak may be the latest thing that's there. It's often anonymous. You know, it may pull in Amoraic statements, but it's fundamentally a stam construction. And it knows, in other words, it's the last thing there, and therefore it knows all the maskanos of later. Either that, or maybe it's the tenth parak in Yavamos. Actually, I don't remember. But you will encounter this, where the earlier part already knows the maskana later. Sometimes Rishonim will point out that the Gemara will present an Ibaye, and it will present a question, and then the Gemara fleshes out the Tutsdadim. And then when you look at the continuation of the Gemara, it actually contradicts the Tutsdadim. And the reason for that is because the Tutsdadim the Gemara presents are actually the maskana of the sugya as to what the question was about. And the stem of the Gemara fills it in already, but in the next lines it seems to undermine it. And the reason is because it's not in chronological order. Right? The Gemara is foreshadowing what the actual, when it says, you know, Boile Rava Me Rami Bar Chama. And, you know, what is the din in the following case? And then the Gemara will say, do you say X or do you say Y? And do you say X and do you say Y was not Rabba's statement. It's the Gemara statement filled in based upon the maskana of what the question was about. But sometimes you'll see that in intermediate stages, the Gemara is still sort of feeling out what the Nekudas HaSheila was. And that seems to undermine the Tutsdadim of the Abaye that Rava presented to Rami Bar Chama, when in fact it's not, because the Tutsdadim and the Abaye were not Rava's presentation, it's the Gemara's understanding and the Maskana of what Rava's question was. So methodologically speaking, the same thing might be going on here. So Mati, that could be why they may already know to address your particular issue. I'm not saying for sure, I don't know, but it's possible. Okay. Yosef.
What is the case of Asuka B'Tzaros?
It means a woman who prepares truma, or potentially kachim, right? Things that require, you know, if you only eat chulin, if she's not about an Ashes Kohen, if she's not an Ashes Kohen, so she is never going to eat truma, and if she's married and she's not an Ashes Kohen, she's never going to eat truma, she might or might not be eating kachim, that's a possibility, but there's no Beis HaMikdash, and she's not, you know, even when they had truma after the Chorban, so she basically never worries about Tumah V'Tahara, all she eats is chulin. If that's the case, she never, you know, the only nafka minam nida is heter labayla. But in a society in which, you know, you had certainly Ashes Kohens who were preparing the food in their houses, And they were dealing with truma, because when they're tahora, they eat truma by virtue of being an eshes kohen. So then it really mattered. So they had to do bedika shachris, bedika arvis, even a bedika. I think when they're going to eat truma before she eats truma, she has to do bedika. And then Ravida says even until she finishes eating truma. Okay, but if you have an eshes Yisrael, it's all irrelevant. So, Salka Daita Chamina, I'm going to skip the line in the middle. I'm going to read Salka Chamina, Dehecha Delesa B'masa, Lo Ramya Anafsha. Kamash Malon, De Ramya Anafsha. That's without the Dalit. That's the way Zach wants to read it, but that's not what the Gemara says. The correct reading is, Salka Daita Chamina, Hani Mili, Hecha, Salka Daita Chamina, Dehecha Delesa B'masa, Dilo Ramya Anafshe. That's not the how do you call it, the protasis and the apotasis or something? It's not, it's, in other words, it's a relative clause. In other words, you would have bought in a case where he's not in the city, where she doesn't do bedikos, you would have thought the din is that she's not Baches Kastara. Kamashmalan, she is, because you don't need bedikos. If you read it without the Dalid, then it's, I would have thought that when he's not in the city, Lo Ramya Anafsha, Ubatka. She doesn't pay attention and do bedikos. Kamash Malan, she does do attention. Even though he's not there, she does do attention. She does pay attention and do bedikos. Zach, you missed your you missed your upschlagging.
Just that last one.
You want to come back? You missed the whole thing in between. God, okay, fine.
The Dalit de Lo Ramya Anafsha, that's the reason why she would.
That is why you wouldn't treat her b'ches kastara when he's not around, when he's b'amen adarach.
That's why she wouldn't do a bedikah.
That is why she doesn't do bedikos. Had your reading, Zach, been correct, it should have said, Alhecha de lesa b'masa, you would have thought, Lo Ramya Anafsha.
No, you always know Lo Ramya Anafsha.
You want to say, the Lo Ramya Anafsha, okay, I hear. See, this, by the way, you just proved something. Now, I think you're wrong, but I'll explain. This is the proof, by the way. If anybody can find it. It's shorthand, the Lo Ramya Anafshe Ubadka.
Sorry?
Avalhecha de Leise B'masa de Lo Ramya Anafshe Ubadka is understood. That's what I think. I hear what you're saying. So Zach has just proven why. I haven't been able to find this Tshuva of the Rashba, but I'm pretty sure it's the Tshuva of the Rashba. If you have like town council that rules, and you go by majority vote, so a simple majority wins. But if you have, let's say, 10 members on the council, and one member is not there when they're debating, and they vote 9-0 or 8-1, pretty like nothing, so the vote's invalid. The reason the vote's invalid, this is a very important life lesson, is because if that one person had been there, they might have been able to persuade the others of the justice of their position. Therefore, it's not a valid vote in the first place. You see, Zach wasn't here, and I ran over so many things. Steamroller, I'm not sure you're right, but I'm a Mikabel that your pushback there. Okay.
Sorry, I missed the steamroller.
Well, no, you weren't there. I just went over it easily, right? There's no problem. Now you came back, and you tossed the fly into the enemy. Okay, so that again, on the Gemara itself alone, there are two ways to read it, I think. What the Kamash Malon is, it's clear the Gemara on Yud Aleph Amud Beis reads it the way Rashi, that's where Rashi's getting his reading of the Mishnah.
Well, you think it's impossible to read Rashi any other way than the way you read
it? I think the Gemara is Meferish in Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and I don't think there's any other way to Rashi in the Mishnah. Call it Meshul Mecheskas Talalayin, but lo bedika shlo huskura bedika ela la suka betaris. If you're not a suka betaris, you don't do the other bedikos either, because there's no reason. The only reason to do bedika, if you're not a suka betaris, only nafkamina being anida is labayla.
Which is something I just don't understand. Why would that be?
Why do you care if a woman is anida other than labayla, unless she deals with truma and kachim? But Rashi says, "But lo bedika." So you're asking why that din should be so. Not the answer is simple, because if she doesn't have hargasha, she would normally knows when she's bleeding. What? But a woman typically would know. The bedika is cautionary. There's also, by the way, a possibility I don't know that we've explored the issue of Mikoro Mikomo Tame Mikomo Tahar. It comes up, we saw it once in the Sugya of Danish Feres, and it comes up again in somewhere in the first paragraph, as I saw it this morning. And what I would observe about that, it is possible to have Dam Nida, which is Mitame, but doesn't make the woman a Nida Labaila. In other words, I've been thinking about this. According to the Shita, Mikoro, when we spoke about Ksamim, we said, we pointed out the Chasam Sofer that the Pischei Tshuva quotes. The Chasam Sofer says that they were gozer on Ksamim because of a Chumra of Kachim. And then they couldn't distinguish between Kachim and Baila. But I think one could go really a step further. They weren't gozer by Kachim. That's a din by Kachim. If Mikoro Mikomo Tame, which maybe we don't paskin that way, but if Mikoro Mikomo Tame, so then Ksamim by Kachim is not a Chumra, it's a din. In other words, if you are choshesh that the kesem actually came from the makor, but it came without her gusha, because that's what makes it a kesem, then the woman is not a nida labaila, but it is mamish mitame. It's mitame kachem nidam.
Well, then we wouldn't be so.
And maybe she's mitame. What?
We wouldn't be so make with ksamim.
We'll only make a labaila.
Is that true? When we say ksamim.
Well, I I don't know. I thought all the cases later. I just assumed they were all about labaila. I'll tell you why I think I can probably prove it the way at least the Rishonim treat why you can be Tola on a Dam Tohar, a Yosheves al Dam Tohar. Well, I guess she's Tamea no matter what. But the way they present it is that she's Muteris anyway.
She's
Muteris Labaila. She's not Muteris Lakachin or Truma. Right. In other words, so you could go back and question whether Pshat and Mishnayos is that way, but all of our thinking in the later sugya is the way, let's say, Rashi's reading. He's not talking about Kachem anymore. He's talking about Labaila. So you're right, though. You're right, Mistama. We are the Tlios might be the same.
Right.
I hear what you're saying. Okay. Anyway, so bottom line is that bedikas should not be required in Ikar Hadin, especially Vestos are not Doraisa. If Vestos, the whole idea of Vestos is not Doraisa, and she doesn't have a hargosha, so she's bleeding, the assumption she's not bleeding. So they have chumras to require bedika pataros because of the Be'etumas Meis Leis, and whatever other, and therefore that goes in that she bodekas labayla as well if she's asuka pataros. The Rashi says, and the Gemara says, and you're not even amazed, if she's not asuka pataros, she doesn't need any bedikas labayla. Pshachas arvis, or b'shashi overs the shamishes besa. Okay. All right. We will stop here. I just wanted to make really 1 minute of comments. I sometimes forget the question should you celebrate Thanksgiving or not? I say this every year, I think, which is I'm not going to tell you whether you should celebrate Thanksgiving, whether you should eat turkey dafka, or whatever else. I do think, however, it is kedai to take note of the occasion. It is no longer, and it hasn't been in a very long time, a religious holiday. It's not clear whether it was ever truly a religious holiday in that sense. And I think that sometimes we are separate from the rest of this country because we are Jewish and we are B'nai Torah, and our values are different, and our holidays are different, and our rituals are different. But sometimes we are also part of the rest of humanity, part of the rest of the citizenry. And this country has been an incredible blessing for Klal Yisrael because Baruch Hashem, I think we can say we have probably never had a better Jewish history. I'm not even sure we've had it better even under Malchai Yisrael. And this country not only has been incredibly, incredibly good to all of its citizens and especially its Jewish citizens, but it also has been, a protector and defender of the state of Israel. Virtually every president, whether they're more pro-Israel or whether they're not quite as pro-Israel, it's still, you have to remember, it's all like, it's all minor, it's really differences of shades. And I think that we have an incredible amount to be hakaras hatov to the Ribono Shel Olam for the existence of this country. And as such, we don't owe the government of this country anything because we are the government of this country. We are all its citizens and vote the same way like everybody else. But I think that it's kedai in some way to at least acknowledge our gratitude along with the rest of the country. So if someone feels they don't want to have a turkey dinner, whatever else that goes with it, so at least in the B'shas HaTfila, people should take at least the time to sort of acknowledge to the Ribono Shel Olam the gift that he's given us, and in that sense, even if it's a different ritual, we celebrate and give thanks along with the rest of the citizens of this country. Okay.